Praise the Lord, brethren. My name is, I'm called Pastor Sam Mwinda. I'm a married man. I've been married for the last 15 years. And I've been serving the Lord for the last 20 years. And I want to thank God for this time that he has given me to be able to share with you what God has put on my heart in line with what they requested me to share with, you. The leadership of Wayogerefuel Gospel Church, that's Pastor Kule Christopher and the ministry team of the pastors, and also the youth leadership, I want to thank God for you for, you know, thinking about me and for putting me, for giving me a place to be able to share with you the Word of God. I want to bless the Lord. I read through your write-up about the vision, the ministry, and everything that you do, and it impressed me. It was beautiful. You find that many churches or many Christians, they don't actually think about something of that kind. They simply do ministry. They just do whatever they do. They just do whatever comes their way. They just do anything that, you know, they find to do. And that is not good. It is dangerous at the end of the day. But I thank God when I read through your vision, your plans, and the seminar that you are having. Oh, I was excited. And I pray to God that you keep it up. And I pray to God that you continue to do this, you know. God is going to take you far in the name of Jesus. I want to go to the topic that you gave me to discuss. And the topic that you gave me to discuss has to do with the need of a vision in leadership. The need of a vision in leadership. Or generally the importance of a vision in leadership, in leading others. But you know, I can't go straight to this topic without first going back to what a vision is and all the different types of visions or the source or the things that helps us to know that you actually, I have, this is a vision and I have a vision into this and this is in my heart and therefore it could be telling me something that I need to do. So I need to start at that place where we talk about the different types of visions. Then I'll define what a vision is. Because when I define the different types of visions, it will be easy to understand what a vision is. When you look through the scriptures, I'll give at least three types. These are my inventions. These are things that I think the Bible is clear about, and I believe you are going to be blessed. Number one is that visions, I'm talking about those visions that are born out of a situation one has gone through or is going through, or a situation you have observed. Let me repeat. Visions born out of a situation one has gone through or is going through, or a situation you have observed. You know, there are types of visions that come out of such situations. Waluo okwolesebwa kutuito okwolesebwa nga kuva mu bintu ebifaananako bwe bityo, ne weesanga nga embeera, the situation that you've gone through, embeera gye wayitamu, embeera gy'olimu, embeera gy'olaba around, ebintu by'ogenze ng'olaba, maka mw'okulidde, oba ebintu by'oyiseemu, emirimu gy'oyiseemu, ebintu by'olaba mu nsi, nga bikuleetera okubaako n'okwolesebwa kw'ogonjaawo, oba to have a vision that you begin to pursue in your life in the name of Jesus. You know, the good thing is sometimes these things come our way and we don't know actually that they are up to something. Some of the circumstances come our way just to be able to bring out what is in the inside of us. Sometimes we don't pay attention to what God is telling us and what he does. He uses situations or he uses circumstances. And when he uses circumstances, those circumstances help us actually at the end of the day to come up with a vision. And sometimes you find that many people come up with business out of the situations they've gone through, out of poverty, out of lack. They begin to think of something, and before they know it, you know, great things are born out of that, you know, becomes part and parcel of their life. Sometimes circumstances put them or put people on the wall in a certain direction, and they say, okay, I have to do something. And that place of wanting to do something, that's when they find that, actually I was born to do this. And that is beautiful. So I'm going to look at some of the scriptures, and I'm going to begin in the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 to 6. I'm reading the New King James Version. The Bible says that after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. The words of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendant be. Praise God. This is powerful. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This is the powerful example for us to look at here. Look at Abraham. He was going through something. He was going through a place where he had not yet, you know, received the child. And because he had not received the child, and then he looked at the situation he was in, and then he looked at Teresa, and he began to observe the circumstances. They were like, Eliezer is going to be my heir, most probably. You know, God, I don't see any child, and I don't see a child coming, so I don't know. I believe this is something that gave him headache, or something that made his heart sorrowful. Chintu echiriawo chamuletera ennaku okubeera biseera ng'alowooza wano ne wali ng'alowooza bannange sigenda kusigaza musika yenna ku nsi ngenda kufa naye ekiki ekinaabaawo tewaliriwo musika agenda kuva mu ntumbwe zange okunsikira era okusikira energy yange okujjako atereza omuddu wange ampeereza. Ebyo byali ebirowoozo bya Ibrahim. Those were his thoughts. There were things that disturbed his heart. There are things that disturbed his family. You know what happened in his family. You know how Sarah brought in Hagar. You know all those things that they went through. But the Bible tells us that amid this touch, something happened. The Lord God came and spoke to him. The Bible says, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Let me begin from verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. In a vision, saying, do not be afraid. In a vision, saying, do not be afraid. That is important. It says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Praise the name of the Lord. So we see that actually, out of desperation, out of a place where someone was, you know, he had lost hope and lost anything. He had lost hope. What happens? The Lord God comes to him in a vision and begin to speak to him. I believe this was an open vision. It was an open vision where he was seeing and meditating and, you know, and trying to meditate on the things in his life and how most probably the end of his life is going to be. And he was like, wow, I'm going to die without a hair. Now, out of that situation, God did something beautiful to Abraham. And that is how we see that actually God tells Abraham that he is going to be the father of many nations, or the father of all believers, to the glory and honor of the mighty name of Jesus. I want to run quickly before I explain more. When you go to the book of Dan chapter 9, the book of Dan chapter 9, or the book of Daniel, as we call it, the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Again, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3 in the New King James Version. It will help us to see this. Now, look at this. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, when you read from verses 1, this is what happened. The Bible says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of the reign, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the dissolution of Jerusalem. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Praise the name of Jesus. Again, we see another example in the scriptures here. What are we seeing? We are seeing Daniel, that as in that year, you know, as he was serving in exile, what happened? He was reading books. He was reading the books where prophecies were written. The prophecies that came by Jeremiah that led to the children of Israel were in exile. So he was reading. And as he was reading, he looked into the books and he discovered, hey, actually the years they are supposed to spend in exile, they are over. And the question began to, in his heart, say, what are we doing here? Why haven't we, you know, wachi tetuvanga mubusibe? Kubango obunabbi obudde bwabo bwagwako, the time of exile is over. He realized, hey, I've got to do something. Praise the name of Jesus. This is something very, very, very powerful. That sometimes when we go through situations, circumstances, and then we don't do something about it, we remain in the same place. Sometimes we think things will just, you know, bija kwekola byokka naye tebijja kwekola. Olusi tutunula obuweereza n'olowooza nti obuweereza bugenda kwekola bwokka, kubanga Mukama Katonda ye nannyini bwonna edda. Katonda yasalawo okukola awamu naffe. God chose to work with us, whether it is business, whether it is your career, whether it is your marriage, whether it is your anything that you want to do. God chose to do things with us. So here is Daniel. He's wondering what is happening. Most probably the rest of the people are waiting for a miraculous sign to happen, for them to do something. But this is where we see that actually the call of Daniel, you know, come through. When he read the books and observed that the years they are supposed to spend in exile, they are over. The Bible tells us he began to fast. He began to repent. He began to call upon their God and say, God, the years are over. We must get out of this situation. These are some of the things that if I'm to relate to what actually happens in ministry, many times all that happens to business, all happens to our personal lives. You know, some circumstances sometimes come our way and, you know, instead of looking deep inside to see actually what God is saying, sometimes we just give in and we say, okay, Mukama bwali agala alibeerako kyakola. Mukama yakola da buli kintu kyonna kyayagala okukola. Whatever he wanted to do, he did it long time ago. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. He became poor that he may be rich. He was wounded for our transgression. You know, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Bible says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Oh, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But God, you know, what he decided in his lordship and his authority and his, you know, sovereignty, he chose that in all that he does it with us. So what do we see here? What I want to bring forward here is, before I preach, you know, panang. Okay, what I want to bring out here is that actually Daniel received, you know, a vision out of reading the books. When he read the books, he realized they're supposed to get out of exile. So he receives a vision to do something, to see that actually they go back to their country. They go back to Israel. because that was what God actually said according to Jeremiah, that after exile they'll go back to their country. So he began to pray and plead with God to see to it that actually what God said shall come to pass. It is very, very key and important. So what am I trying to show us here? That there are type of visions that are born out of situations we go through, or we are going through, or situations that we have observed. But I want to go to point number two. Point number two speaks about Point number two of the different types of visions, I named it as the place of the impressions of the heart. Impressions of the heart, or let's call it impressions of the heart visions. Impressions of the heart visions. You know, these are born out of our heart desires. They are born out of our heart desires. We can look at the book of, to begin with, that is Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We are going to read verses 4. Psalm 37 and verses 4, the Bible says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Let me give you another scripture to be able to explain this. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel will show us something here, and that is chapter 7. We are going to begin from verses 1 to 3. You can read, but let's read 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house," that is King David you are talking about, "and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.'" Let's go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8 from verses 18. 1 Kings chapter 8 from verses 18. This is what the Bible says in verses 18. Okay. Bible says, "But the Lord said to my father David." Now, this is Solomon reporting. Solomon is reporting what actually happened during the time of David. And then he says, okay, "But the Lord said to my father David, 'Whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name.' So the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke, and I have fulfilled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel." Praise the name of Jesus. Now, what began as a desire in the heart of David that he spoke to Nathan. Actually, to Solomon, it was what God said to David. Let me repeat so that you listen very well. This is important. Let me repeat it. What began as a desire in the heart of David, and then he shared it with Nathan, the prophet. And Nathan told him to do what was in his heart. When it reached to Solomon, Solomon perceived it in the spiritual realm and understood that actually this was not David, his father, but it was God speaking to David. Let's read it again in verses 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, "But the Lord said to my father David," you see, "but the Lord said to my father David," let me repeat so that you get it well. What actually began as a desire in the heart of David, you know, the Bible spoke to us in the book of, you know, we read in 1 Samuel 7, verses 1 to 3. That, you know, David, after he had, you know, he was at peace with all his neighbors, and, you know, he had fought battles, and now he's at peace, and he has built himself a palace, he had built himself a house, and he was at rest, the Bible says. I think he was in his house and he began to meditate, and he was like, okay, I'm in such a beautiful house. What about the house of the Lord? What about the covenant box? You know, where it rests, is not built. So it became part and parcel of his heart. And what began as in the heart of a man, you know, to Solomon, when Solomon heard or was told actually the story of what his father perceived, I believe this was his father actually who spoke to him. That actually he wanted to build the temple. Yes, it was his father. And then he was able to speak or to show him what actually he wanted to do. Later on, if you continue that scripture, you realize that actually David spoke to Solomon exactly what he wanted to see built. And did not stop there. Actually, he went ahead to make sure that he gets everything, the materials that are needed, the gold, the wood, the timber, that was needed actually to build the temple. Now, that is another point somewhere there that I will not go in today. But it speaks of a place where the vision that we have does not only have to stop on you. That actually you can have a vision that goes beyond your lifetime. You can have a vision that can go for generation and generation. That people that come after you will build on to. In the name of Jesus. But that's not my point today. Let me go to the point that I want to make here. In verses 18 of 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon sees this in the spiritual realm and says, "But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple. But your son who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name." Now, that is powerful also. It is very, very powerful to note here that our heart desires, you know, like the book of Psalms declares, says, "Delight in the Lord and will give you your heart desire." When you delight in the Lord, your heart desires, actually, they are the desires of God. And you find that many times we have impressions from our hearts that later on, you know, turn out to be what we are born to do. The very things that God has called us to do. The very things that we need to do in life. The very things why we are born. When you look at the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, the Bible speaks of a place where the Bible says that God causes us to will and to do for his good desire. For his pleasure, not good desire, for his pleasure. God causes us, let me read it so that we quote it carefully and well. Philippians chapter 2 and verses, we say 13. Philippians 2:13. The Bible says, I'm reading the New King James Version. It says, "For it is good, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So if you're a child of God, if you're born of God, if you're born of God, you need to know and understand that your life is not your own. When Paul reaches those places, he speaks of a place where he no longer lives, but Christ lives. We need to understand that when we come to that place of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we belong to him. So we should not ignore those impressions that he puts on our hearts. Sometimes we think these are things that God has just put on our hearts, but not many things that we're just thinking that are just coming on our hearts. But you know, many times these are the very things that actually God has ordained that we must do, that we must fulfill. That these are things that defines our calling. These are things that defines the things that we must make sure we do in our lifetime. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, I want to define the third type of vision. The third type of vision, here what I named it as a direct invitation. I call it direct inviting visions. Direct inviting vision. The first one was visions born out of situations. The second one, that impressions of the heart visions. And the third one, direct inviting visions. Direct inviting visions. Now, these come through dream. As you asleep, you begin to dream of certain things, you dream of certain things, you dream of certain things. And when you wake up, you're like, wow. You know, this is so clear. You know, I don't have to ask any question. This is what God is telling me to do. Or they come through prophecy, as you know, somebody just prophesy, and they prophesy and they tell you what you're supposed to do or to accomplish. Oh, it's about what you are pursuing, it's about your career, it's about your ministry, it's about a business, and they just speak a word. Or you have a dream about what you are supposed to do. And at the end of the day, you know, you are able to know actually what God is telling you to do. So as we continue to lead as a leader, it is very, very key and important to listen to this. You know, some of the situations that we went through, we didn't just go through. They were for purposes. And some of the things we go through in places of ministry, you know, they are not just for just. No, they are for something. They are for something. God uses those circumstances. You know, he does not bring them, but he uses them. That is important to know also. Because sometimes some people, you know, have gone off course in the preaching of the gospel, and they think actually God brings those bad situations that they go through, you know, and they fail to actually see the hand of God. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 from verses 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to they that love the Lord. The Bible doesn't say that actually God brings them. No, all things work together for good to they that love the Lord. So some of the things that we go through as we are trying to do this, you know, if we talk about in the lines of ministry, sometimes you need to serve God, but you find, you know, difficulties, or you find oppositions, or you find that the people actually that you are leading, they don't even care. You know, you call them to pray and they don't want to pray. You call them to do this and they don't want to do it. And you tell them, let's go do this, and they don't want to do it. And you're like, my friend, what is happening here? And you're like, oh, should I give up? Did I actually hear God? You know, did I actually hear God into this matter? And many times some people tend to want to give up, but it's not a time to give up. Actually, you had God. You are not chosen to lead just for just. No, you are not chosen to lead just for just. There was something behind your choosing for you to be a leader. So you need to know God, that bless you. You're called in leadership, you are called to lead no matter what.
I know that we're going to have a session where we're going to be answering questions. We are grateful to God that we will be available to answer any question that will come along. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for this topic that we've discussed about leadership. May you remind all of us that we are leaders in a certain way, because all it begins with influence. It just begins with influence. And so I pray that each one of us shall identify the areas and the places that you've called them to lead, and they will be effective and they will be faithful to the vision you've given them. I decree and declare that no vision will be aborted in the name of Jesus, but all shall come to be fulfilled to the glory and honor of the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray and believe. Amen. God bless you.